Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Bite-Sized Blessings. Sorry the episode is delayed this week. On Saturday and Sunday, I was driving to Arkansas, which is where I'm recording this from. I'm also outside, so if you hear some birds or the passing train, that's just what I've got to work with this week. This week, I get to interview a super cool friend, Taylor Kress, who fronts the band Jubal. At the end of this episode, you'll hear a song by Taylor and his bandmates called Reynosa from the album County Ball. Taylor talks about UFOs. He talks about something unexpected that happened during a therapy session. In fact, Taylor had so much to share, we had to whittle it down to the two events included in this episode. Taylor's many things: a musician, a wildland firefighter, a coffee barista. He's pretty much done it all, but I think you'll understand that it's really with his band and his music. For me, that's where he shines. So now, episode 114 of Bite-Sized Blessings.
Where it got weird was, so we were talking, and then she asked me where it was now, and it was in my neck, and what color it was, and it was gray. And these are the things I remember very vividly, because then she asked me, was it conscious? And I shit you not, I lost control of my body.
All right, so my first question always is, who are you as a human being? How do you self-describe? If you were to, you know, go to a party or go to a conference, who are you as a human being?
That is a great question. I guess the answer I would always, it would be contextually, it would depend on the context of who I'm talking to. Also, I am a multifaceted individual. I'm Taylor Kress. I'm a writer. I am a husband. I'm a firefighter and a musician. And I guess those would be the main things that I would pick off the top of my head, but I don't, it's hard. I usually just go with like, I'm Taylor. Kind of crazy. There we go.
Would you say cowboy poet?
I mean, that's a great term. If everyone wants to start referring to me as that, I'll take it, you know.
How did you start your band?
Yeah. So my initial start in music would have been, I played violin classically all throughout middle school and high school, but I'd never liked that music. So I don't, no offense to classic music. It's just, you know, inferior to country music. but I started after college. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And, I started working in coffee, and music was my other half of my living. And we just started, I honestly, at that point, just started playing, booking shows and playing whatever I could. And so I guess, my position in the band would be, I write all the songs. I would say I'm more of a writer than I am a musician. Just given that that's the way my mind works better. But yeah, Jake Smith is my brother, basically. I mean, he's my brother by all. He's not my official brother, but he's my brother. And he would be the other half of the band, I'd say, because he's the composer that adds so much of all the other elements of it. And yeah, I guess I still do that. I don't do it for a living anymore, but I still love to play music.
You also have an amazingly magical voice. I'm sure you know that.
Thank you. I'm glad to hear that. I'm always very insecure about my voice.
I'm so curious, when you're out fighting fires in the middle of nowhere, do you bring your guitar and sit around the fire at, not the actual forest fire, but at the end of the day when you're all hanging out, do you like sing and play for everybody?
No, I don't. I wish I could bring a guitar. We don't actually usually have room for pretty much anything. I write. It's usually when I write poetry, because like poetry kind of works as a, it's not, I don't share my poetry a lot. It's usually more of a journal for me, so I usually will kind of journal throughout the assignment and it's more of a poetic form. It's the only kind of way I can write. But no, I actually don't really talk about, I don't know. I get frustrated sometimes with musicians, particularly because I have a lot of, I mean, as a, they can be interesting at times, and I don't usually talk about playing music unless it comes up naturally. Like, I don't bring it up at, you know, any of my jobs, hardly, unless there's a reason to.
How did you get interested in firefighting?
Yeah. Well, I guess I've always worked in coffee and music. And then when COVID hit, all my sources of income just disappeared. Cause obviously a lot of coffee shops had to, you know, cut back on their employees. And then music, of course, took a hit really bad. Honestly, it's still recovering, you know, 3 years out now, and it's finally getting back to where you could do things again that are the way they were before, but it's still not ever. Music's also just a hard industry right now. So that would be how I got into fire. I was bored and I lived in Ojo County and had nothing to do. So the local volunteer fire department needed members, and I was like, oh, I'll just go down there. So I went down for a meeting and, pretty quickly fell in love with that type of stuff too. So then I stayed with them I'm still with them. I'm still volunteer, but I was with them for over a year and then got my position with the Forest Service and started going that route.
Isn't it a little scary every once in a while?
Sometimes it's boring, the most boring job in the world. And then other times thankfully I'm very fortunate. I haven't had a lot of really super dangerous things happen to me, but I've had some days that some sketchy things that were, yeah, they're exciting. Let's just say, we'll stick with exciting. I grew up in split houses, and so both of my families went to non-denominational Christian churches in the South, which I feel like are kind of just like closet Baptist churches down there. Like, they won't admit it, but they're non-denominational. But we switched churches a lot, and not to ever sound critical of religion, but I did not have a good time in high school or middle school for that matter. And a lot of my, some of the people that were problematic related to that were really involved in some of the churches I went to. So it pushed me away from religion for a long, long time. And it took me quite a while to get back to having some comfortable relationships with it.
I really love what you said about the non-denominational Christian church being like a closet Baptist church.
It's true though. They're like identical in every single thing, except for they just have a lot more like modern music.
You know, because sometimes Baptist churches can be like a little Pentecostal. I'm guessing there was no speaking in tongues or snake handling.
No, I never experienced that. But that being said, a number of my friends, there's a lot of musicians I know back East that make a lot of their living on church gigs. And they have, a number of them have told me about some interesting encounters with the speaking in tongues and one story of some snake handling.
I've always thought the snake handling is totally crazy because, I mean, I don't hate snakes, but it just seems like tempting fate to.
To say the least. Not to mention, I just don't. I mean, I'm sure there's. I'm not educated enough on the theological arguments for why you would do that. But it's never. I've always been like, okay, cool. This is an interesting take. I didn't know this was a thing or part of this. But okay, cool.
Yeah, I know. I watched a show about it actually a few years ago, and one of the most famous handlers was, well, he'd been bitten so many times, he had kind of like this little weird immunity, you know, so he could get bitten and kind of not suffer through the repercussions. But then it was like one snake too many and he died. Yeah, it was intense. But again, it's like tempting fate. I'm like, no, thank you. Plus, I mean, what do you think? How do you think the snakes feel? The snakes are probably like, what the fuck is this? Can you leave me alone for like a while and not touch me? And why are all these people staring at me? And like, what's going on?
Oh, yeah. No, I definitely do. I definitely think the snake is completely valid for biting a person. you're getting like shook around and dancing and people are speaking in tongues. And it's just probably really like hectic for this kid. I'll be like, I'm going to do the only thing that I know how to do. That's I'm going to bite you, man.
Why don't you tell me one, or if you want to share one of your UFO stories? I love hearing those.
Sure. I've had a couple, some of them, you know, and when I say UFO, I don't necessarily mean aliens. I just mean truly an unidentified flying object. And some of them were just lights, crazy lights situations that I was like being like, oh, I'm never going to, no one's going to believe that. No, not really sure what I just saw. But the one, the weirdest one I had was actually this year, and I was on an assignment in California that I was talking about earlier. That and it was at night, and the fire camps are really weird. They're like a city that they set up in the middle of, you know, the woods, basically. And we were, it was dark, but there's a bunch of generators, you know, like generators light, so you can't really see a ton outside of your area, but they were just shutting those all down. We had set up our tents to get ready to go to bed. And again, for the people that want to check the credibility of my story, we were, you know, seven to 10 days into this assignment. You're sober. You can't tell me that we were drinking or doing anything. It's like, we were sober, 7 to 10 days sober. You're sitting there like no one's had a drink and done anything. So you're sitting there and you're, I was talking to my friend, Sarah, and we're over the hillside. There's just this dark black oval. And again, there's all these generator lights, so the sky is slightly illuminated from that. But this thing is solid black, like completely pitch black. And it has about 25, I think 20 to 25 is what I counted, little lights in the middle of it. And it's just floating really slow across the sky, like almost like a blimp would. And I remember pointing to Sarah, I was like, Sarah, do you see that? I was like, what the fuck am I looking at? And Sarah turned around and did the same thing. She was like, what the fuck? And it just, we watched it for about 5 seconds to 10 seconds, just in complete awe. And then it disappeared. And the other, so then that was the whole visual part of it. But just so other people that would know, you'd be like, oh yeah, well, someone might've been flying something. You can't do that on a fire. There's a thing called a temporary flight restriction, a TFR. So nothing can be flying in that zone unless it's monitored and recognized and acknowledged within like their whole system that's there. So this thing, but we looked on the map and it was flying right on the edge of this, like the inside edge of this TFR. And so we have no idea. Again, no idea what it was.
Did it make any noise? Could you even hear anything?
No, couldn't hear or see anything. And then it just disappeared, like I said. And it was one of those times, like all the other times I had seen the weird lights and stuff in my life, I've been like, you know, had a couple of drinks. So I'm like, I never know I'm going to believe this one. But it's like that one. I was like, no, you can't. I know what I saw. And someone else was literally standing with me and saw it too. I've been really fortunate. I haven't had any crazy things happen to me in that, especially with all the different jobs I've had. I'm kind of lucky in that sense. I'm glad I haven't had to experience one.
Well, I would love to hear your ghost stories. Any of your ghost stories?
Yeah. I will share one. This one is weird. So I was dating a girl who was into this. She was doing this work that's for to help people get over traumas. And it could be physical traumas, emotional, mental. And it's Eastern philosophy and some Eastern work. We're westernizing it, using it like a more medical, like a Western, and to make it apply to Western medicine and like work within the framework. So long story short, she had been doing that and we hadn't talked a lot about it. And I was like, hey, if you ever want to, you know, practice or do anything, like, I'd love to, you know, work with you on some stuff, just like, you know, if you're comfortable with that. And I have some pretty severe back pain that I've had since I was like 21. And we sat down and she's like, yeah, let's try it. And so the way it starts is it'll ask you a lot of questions and you just answer the first thing that comes to your head. Like, she'll ask you like, you know, what color is it? And you're like, whatever you said, first thing you say, you know, what shape is it? where is it located? And you're like, okay, it's here. And it's like, well, has it moved? And it's like, okay, blah, blah, blah. So this goes on for probably 5 to 10 minutes. And the questions, and it's changing locations. It's, you know, you're feeling the pain kind of moving up the different areas. And like, the more you think about it, and the where it got weird was, so we were talking and then she asked me where it was now. And it was in my neck and what color it was. And it was gray. And these are the things I remember very vividly, because then she asked me, was it conscious? And I shit you not, I lost control of my body. And my back arched up like you're trying to like pop your back, you know. And the worst part is she continued to ask me questions. And I was answering, but I was not, I had no control over my answers. And it took about a minute before I could speak for myself. And I had no recollection of what was saying. I was just too honestly in shock. And I was like, we gotta stop this. Like I explained what happened. And so she went back and talked to her, I guess, teacher, instructor on it. And the instructor's only answer really was that it was, she was saying that you're really not supposed to have run into that often in that line of work, but it does happen. And the word they used for it was energetic influences, which sounds like a nice way to say ghost or whatever you want to put the term on it. But yeah, it was pretty terrifying, I guess. And it wasn't necessarily scary, just like really changed my viewpoint on a lot of that stuff, where I was like, okay, I guess there's some different stuff out there that I've not been acknowledging, at least, you know. And I'll sit down and, you know, listen to someone's argument to say it was hypnosis or something, like, sure, maybe there was something that she didn't know. Like, I know that's a full other science there, but like, all I know is the details happened the way they happened for me. And it was pretty incredible, I guess. That's the word for it.
Maybe it was just like a helpful little gremlin that lives in your body and is gray.
That's exactly. I've always jokingly referred to it as the little gray man in my neck. So,
you know, I think we're all thirsting for those stories of the inexplicable, the unexplained.
Yeah. Well, and I wish there was, and maybe it's not as taboo as I feel like I picture it to be. Like, I've told people before, I try to tell people when I talk to them about it, because I want it to be like, yeah, it's, I'm not crazy. I'm not some, you know, I'm not a lunatic here. So it's like, this is what happened, and it happened very really. And this was the exact circumstances under which it did. So it's like, it doesn't have to be viewed in this. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'm just used to people that are skeptical of everything. So it was very eye-opening for me. That's for sure.
One last question. When that black oval disappeared, did it literally just wink out of existence, or did it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It just like, it was like moving there perfectly. And then it just like whoosh, was gone, because we were both staring at it. I can literally have a second viewpoint that also said, it would say the exact same thing. We were both watching and like, what the hell? And then it just whoosh, gone. You're like, oh, that, okay, that's it. That was it. Of course. And that's always how it is. And it's so frustrating, because you want to go get like 5 other people and be like, come everybody, come take a video or something. And it's like too late. You're like, I was so in awe. And then it's just gone. You're like, all right, well, that was all I'm going to get on it.
That is amazing. And I'm so jealous.
Oh, it was so cool. And Sarah is a big alien, like, I'm not going to say conspiracy theorist, alien theorist. There we go. And like, Sarah lost it. She was so excited. She's like, oh my God, we just saw the craziest shit. It was so cool. I mean, I think it, like, the whole next day, that's all we could talk about.
And I bet everyone else there who didn't see it was jealous.
Or that, or they thought we were lunatics.
Let it come to stay. I want woman won't fall by the weight. Who carries closest what she most missed as a babe? Out of nowhere, started snowing. And I don't know where she's gone. She's gone.
I am so grateful to Taylor for sharing his music with me, but also for telling me a few of his stories. I need to thank the creators of the music used for this episode. Of course, Taylor and the band Jubal, but also Winnie the Moog, Alexander Nakarada, and Frank Schroeder. For complete attribution, please see the Bite-Sized Blessings website at bitesizedblessings.com. On the website, you'll find links to all sorts of delicious things, including a link to Taylor's Bandcamp page. Thank you for listening, and here's my one request. Be like Taylor. Do it all. Be a musician. Be a wildland firefighter. Play the violin. Be a barista. Learn how to make delicious coffee. Never limit yourself. And eventually, I think you'll find exactly the place you're meant to be.
Out of nowhere, started snowing, and I don't know where she's gone. It's snowing, and I guess she's going back again. Out of nowhere, thought it's snowing, and then I know when I'm gone, so I'm still my home.